Father, thank you so much that we can be here to worship you today. Just thank you for what you've done for each one of us, Lord. When we come to this time, Father, of your word, I just pray, Father, that each one of us, as we hear the scriptures, as we see the video clip, as we hear the words, as we hear the message, Father, I just pray, Father, that you touch our hearts and show us those things in our lives where we can demonstrate some of that faith that Abraham did those thousands of years ago. So I just come to you this morning, Father, and I lift this up. I pray too, Father, that if there be any with us this morning or who would be watching also on the web or later on the DVD, who do not know your Son Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, I'd pray today, Father, that this would be the day that they would receive that most precious gift of all, of salvation, that you offer through Jesus. So I just lift this up. Again, Lord, you speak to us this morning. You guide. And I pray this in your Son's most precious name. Amen. You know, we know about stories. One of the things that they say that one of the best ways to get people interested in stories is to make them the main character. You know, if you make somebody the main character of a story, they tend to get really involved and really kind of like, ooh, that's kind of neat. In fact, this happened about 100 years ago or so when there was a little boy had his first birthday and there was something that was given to him. It was a teddy bear. And over a period of time, most of us have probably known the stories, the Winnie the Pooh series, right? Stories. And you know who the main character was. It was that little boy and his teddy bear and all of the other things that went in his bedroom and everything else. But his daddy, who was a playwright, had put that together. And over the years, I mean, the thing's been turned into like 50 different languages. It's shown, been all over the place, been turned into movies and this, that, and the other. It's a story, though. But what is really cool, you got a story yourself. I got a story. Every one of us have got a story, don't we? Amen? Every one of us. We may not have that stuffed bear. We may not be Winnie the Pooh, but we have a story. Now, some of our stories probably read a little bit like a tragedy. Some of them probably read a little bit like a comedy. He's just hoping I won't say his name, so I won't. But some of our stories do. Some of our stories may read like a romance. Or maybe at least, like somebody said in the first service, they said at least at different times in our lives they read like romances. But every one of us has got a story. Some of them are long, some of them are short. And you're probably going, I hope yours is short this morning, the one that you're going to share with us. Oh, cool. No comments, therefore we can go an hour, right? Cool. All right, Stan. Just go ahead and you figure out another hour worth of song after we get done, babe. Yeah. But anyway, one of the greatest stories that's ever been given was the Bible. Amen? I mean, it's one of the greatest stories there is. It starts with in the beginning in Genesis and goes all the way through and ends up in Revelation and ends up with an amen, doesn't it? A long story, but it's the greatest book. There's a television series like we've been telling everybody that's starting tonight and starts at 8 o'clock on the History Channel. It's called The Bible. It's a two-hour mini-series. It'll be on this Sunday, next Sunday, the following Sunday, Palm Sunday, and Easter. Five Sundays, five parts, 2 hours apiece. And you can also watch it on the Internet if you don't have cable. If you've got Internet, you got it made. I mean, you know, either way. It's called The Bible, and I think that, you know, it's a good title for it because that's what it's based on. It's got some, obviously it's going to have some dramatizations and things like that, but, you know, it actually follows pretty closely to what the Word says. And so on Sunday mornings, we're going to kind of parallel what they're going to be going through as we lead up to Easter because that's where it culminates. That's where it ends. It comes to an end on Easter. And you know why? Because that's the resurrection day. So, I mean, it's really going to be good. Now, some of the things that I hope that you guys get out of this, and I really encourage you to watch it, but some of the things that I hope you see is that, and that you pick up, is that your appreciation of the Bible stories are going to be so much greater than what they have been maybe in the past. I would hope also that maybe you get a really good picture and a good appreciation of what God's done for you and me in the redemptive plan that he has, that he brought forth in his son, Jesus Christ. And I also hope that you see God's love for mankind. Amen? Because I really believe you will. Now, as we start with this story, it starts obviously in the book of Genesis, in the beginning. It's an easy book to find in our Bibles. It's the very first one. And we're going to look at that. But the first thing we're going to do this morning is we are going to look at the video. And then after we do that, then I'll go ahead and jump in here on Genesis chapter 22, starting in verse 1. So you can kind of go ahead and start preparing and get there. So Darian, at this time, if you will, let's go ahead and run that video.
Children of your own, you'll want them to grow up as big and Abraham. What's the matter?
God wants a sacrifice. My boy, come with me.
Matter.
God wants a sacrifice. My boy, come with me.
We have the firewood, but where's the lamb?
The Lord will provide a sacrifice, my son.
Did Abraham take a lamb?
No, mistress.
We have the firewood.
Provide a sacrifice, my son. Bring the wood.
Isaac, you must trust in God.
Isaac,
you must trust in God.
Please, Father.
Many of us probably heard that story many times, and it's probably one of the when you really read it and you let it speak to you, it's probably one of the more heart-wrenching stories in the Bible, because the father was asked to make the most unimaginable sacrifice ever. What's interesting, though, is the story has always been told from the perspective of Abraham and his display of his great faith, isn't it? I mean, that's usually what we remember. But have you ever stopped and thought about how this story looks from Isaac's perspective? That's the way we're going to approach it today. Is we're going to look at it from Isaac's perspective. Because the story that comes out of Genesis chapter 22 isn't just Isaac's story. It's also your story and my story. It's our story in a lot of many different ways. And one of the first ways that this story is like our story is that your life and my life, they're uncertain. We're on this journey, and the journey is actually a very uncertain journey, isn't it? So I'd like for you, if you would, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, and starting in the first verse. And here's what it says. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when they had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in a distance. And he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there." I don't know if you've ever read this part or seen it, but listen to this. Again, "Stay with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Cool. Amen? Huh? Think about that. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and he placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two went up together. And Isaac spoke and said to his father, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham answered and said, "God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on up together. Put yourself in Isaac's place this morning, okay? Here apparently one day, Abraham said to his son, "We're going to go on a trip. We're going to go to this place called Moriah. We're going to take the two servants." That's actually a fairly long trip. It was about 2 days, and took on the third day it was when they actually saw that they were getting there. It's about 50 miles. And so they had traveled, and they reached this place. When they reached their destination, the Bible doesn't tell us everything that went on, does it? We've got the main pieces, but we don't have every little nook and cranny. But it's rather obvious that Isaac didn't know exactly what was getting ready to happen, did he? He knew that he and his dad were going up to the mountain to make a sacrifice to God. Now, the depictions that we had in the video clip show that the boy was probably about a smaller boy, but in actuality, he was probably closer to 18. He was probably getting closer to being an adult. But in any case, Isaac really didn't understand everything. He didn't have a good grasp on what was getting ready to happen. Not everything had been revealed to him. It had been revealed to who? To Abraham, wasn't it? Amen? Abraham was walking in faith. Isaac was walking in faith. Abraham was trusting God. Isaac was trusting his father. Amen? But we're on a journey just like theirs. It was an uncertain journey for Isaac. It's an uncertain journey for you and me today. We do not know what lies ahead, do we? We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. There was a very wise preacher who once upon a long, long time ago said in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 14, he said, "No man knows what is to be, and who can tell him what it will be after him?" Nobody knows. God knows, but we don't know, do we? And there's not anybody that's going to tell us. None of us knows what the future is. It's uncertain, isn't it? Would you agree? Yeah. So no matter how much we think we know, no matter how well educated we may be, no matter how much we think we might have really got life down, we got it all figured out, guess what? Your life, my life, uncertain. It's really uncertain. We're on an uncertain journey as we go throughout life. And that's one of the ways that Isaac's story parallels your story and my story. Very similar. He was on an uncertain journey. They were going up, weren't they? He didn't know what was going to happen. You and I don't know what's going to happen either. The next thing, though, and this is very true for both of us, death is very certain. Death is certain for all of us. Genesis, again, verses 9 through 10, it says here that, "And when they had reached the place that God told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood upon it. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him upon the altar on top of the wood. And he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called out to him then from heaven, saying, 'Abraham.'" He took the knife. He had placed Isaac on the altar. He took the knife. Can you imagine being in Isaac's shoes? You know, I said we were going to look at it from Isaac's standpoint. You're on the altar, bound, and your daddy is standing over you with a knife, getting ready to plunge it into your heart, to offer you as a sacrifice. Amen? Put yourself in Isaac's shoes. Can you imagine the sheer horror that this young boy must have felt, this young man? Amen? Can you, you know, it doesn't matter. It would have been a frightening moment. I don't care whether he was a, 10-year-old or an 18-year-old. It would have been a frightening moment, wouldn't it? But Isaac didn't really, and he didn't understand exactly what was going to happen. Did he resist? We don't know. Did he scream out? We don't know. But it seems likely at some point in this chain of events, he's starting to figure out something's getting ready to happen. Here he is tied on this altar, and his dad's got his knife up above him, Something's going to happen. Amen? Probably not good. He's probably starting to realize, you know what? Death is pretty certain, and I'm it. Put yourself in his place. Again, the Bible doesn't give us 100%, you know, all of the details, because we really don't need all of them. But it does very clearly and very simply give us the detail about this. The boy is lying on the altar and the knife is raised. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Abraham's getting ready to take the life of his son. And he's trusting God. Now, back to Isaac's standpoint. You talk about his life probably flashing before his eyes. Amen? You know, maybe some of you have had horror moments like that where life has kind of flashed between your eyes. Bad automobile accident. Consultation with the doctor, and the doctor has said the word cancer. Many other things. You're facing an operation that they say, well, it might work. Your life kind of flashes before your eyes, right? So your story and my story and Isaac's story kind of gets in there. Death is certain. I mean, you start to understand real quick that death is a reality. And see, the Bible tells us that when sin entered in through man, death through sin, death became to all men because all had sinned. Death came to all men because all had sinned. Amen? Death came, to, I mean, that's it. That's where it's at. You go back to the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve. They had ignored God's warnings. They ignored God's commands. And they went and did it their own way. And the Bible says we've all gone astray ever since, right? They rejected God's wisdom. They chose their own way over and over and over. How many times do we do the same? And because of all of these not obeying God, not following him, the consequences of sin touches every one of us. It touches you. It touches me. It was touching Isaac, wasn't it? Now, in the mini-series, even if you watch it tonight, one of the other things you're going to see is this sin thing goes pretty deep, because old Moses, back even before, you know, way back before our time, good old Moses there in Egypt, right? What had happened? Death plague. Angel of death, right? Death was going to touch all the houses of Israel. You know, they could look back and they could see, they heard the story of Abraham and his faith. They knew what would, you know, how God had taken care of that. But now, here they are, and Moses is telling them, death is coming to all of us. Wasn't it? It was. Amen? I mean, death is a reality. Whether we want to accept it or not, death is 100% reality. And we may not be tied up hand and foot on some altar with somebody standing above us with a knife getting ready to take our lives as a sacrifice, but death comes to everyone. You may not be waiting for the death angel to come across your house tonight. Amen? But the Israelites were. They faced it. And some of you are probably going right now, okay, whoa, okay, Pastor, I thought this was really going to be a fun series. You're being a real downer about this, Jerry. You know, it's kind of depressing here. And if I'd really known that that's what you were going to be preaching on this morning, I think I'd have stayed home and watched one of the Name It and Claim It Prosperity Gospel Boys, because I'd have had a lot more fun. Amen? Maybe. I hope not. But anyway, I'm not going to leave you hanging there. But that's the reality. That is the reality. Your lives and my lives parallel Isaac's, because death is a reality. It is certainty. But the good news is it sure gets a lot better. The Bible won't let us be sitting there hanging about this. In fact, the trouble is, though, is you have to understand the bad news before you really appreciate the good news. The bad news is death is a reality. You and I are facing death because of sin. But the good news is, even though death is coming to all of us, God, just like he did for Isaac, took care of it and provided the sacrifice. So it's not for you and me today, even today, it's not a matter of is death going to come, it's when. It's going to hit every one of us. We don't like to think about that. I don't think any of us do. We don't like to admit it, but our time here on earth is limited. It is very limited. In fact, we know the death rate's 100%. I wish Stan had been able to have his U-Haul with the hearse with the U-Haul picture that he wanted to show us last week, but we didn't have that. We can't take it with us. And we are all going to face the same thing. Every one of us is going to die. And we all hope it's not today. But I think we kid ourselves a lot when we start thinking that we've got all the time in the world before we have to make important decisions in our lives. We really kid ourselves. Because the Bible says no man knows when his time is coming. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Nobody knows when your time's coming. But the good news is, your story doesn't have to end there. It really doesn't. It doesn't have to end with the death thing. That's one of the things that we see out of Isaac's story that's parallel to your story and my story. See, God has already provided for our salvation. All we have to do is accept it. God's already provided for us. As we look on down here at the text a little bit more, I want you to look down at verse 11. Remember, Abraham's got Isaac bound up, lying on the altar. He's raised up the knife, ready to kill his son. And it says, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. For now I know you fear God because you've not withheld from me your own son, your only son. And Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, he took the ram, and he sacrificed it for the burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Wow. The sacrifice was provided by God, wasn't it? Can you imagine the relief? Now, I know Abraham felt pretty relieved. Amen? I mean, Abraham was trusting God, but I mean, I guarantee you, he was human, and he felt relief. Like, okay, whoo, okay, that's how God was going to take care of it. Because he's got the knife raised. But here's Isaac. I guarantee you, he felt relief too. I guarantee you he did. He probably had closed his eyes and braced himself, knowing that, uh-oh, the end is coming. But Abraham's told, hold off, hold on, don't lay a hand on it. You know, I've heard some pastors say, you know, or preachers say, and the angel reached out and grabbed his hand. It doesn't say that. I think it's pretty explicit. He called out by name. But Abraham, this is one of the cool things that we can learn from Abraham out of this. Abraham so walked with God, he so trusted God that when God told him to do something, he did it. And when God spoke to Abraham through the angel of the Lord and said, Abraham, do not, Abraham obeyed. Amen. That would have probably been a little bit easier to obey than the other, except, you know, he was ready. Amen. But he obeyed. And here for the... there was a sacrifice that was already provided, a substitute. It didn't have to be his son. It was going to be this ram. Isaac was saved. That's our story. That's your story too. There's a sacrifice that's already been offered. We're probably not bound up hand and foot, but I guarantee you our lives are bound up in sin. And it's that sin that's going to would drag us down. And there has to be a sacrifice in order to break that free. We know the shackles of sin, amen? We might even know that the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. I mean, it's Romans chapter 6. But our story doesn't end at that point, any more than Isaac's story ended at that point. Isaac's story didn't end on Mount Moriah, and your story and mine didn't end there. Really, it began there. One of the cool things, God provided not only the salvation for Isaac, he also later on provided the salvation for you and for me through Christ Jesus. Do you realize that the lamb that Abraham was able to sacrifice was found on the exact same spot where our Lord was sacrificed? Mount Moriah. Do you know that? On the mountain, that's why it said in the Bible, it says, on this mountain the Lord provided. Where is Jerusalem located? Look it up. Amen. And John the Baptist looked and saw Jesus coming to the Jordan to be baptized. Amen. And what did he call him? He said, behold, the Lamb of God, who does what? Who takes away all sin. Who was provided? Come on, come on. Who was provided for your sin? Jesus. Put yourself in Isaac's shoes once more. Just one more time. How do we respond? I wonder how Isaac really responded. I don't think he got up off of that altar when Abraham lifted him up and went, whew, glad that's over. Do you? I've got a feeling he went down to his knees and said, thank you, God. I got a feeling Abraham was going, thank you, Lord. Amen? How about you? For the sacrifice that was made for you. Are you going, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done? Thank you, Lord. I think that's probably the appropriate response. Is bowing before God and saying thank you. What a perfect morning to be doing that as we celebrate the Lord's Supper and we celebrate Jesus, amen? The sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and for me. He did it. Isn't it a wonderful day to say thank you? Amen? There may be somebody either here this morning or somebody who's watching and listening. Maybe they haven't trusted Jesus Christ yet. Christ made that sacrifice for you. He went to the cross and died for you so that you could be set free, so that you could have life eternal with him, so that death would have no stranglehold on you. And with every head bowed and all your eyes closed this morning, if you haven't accepted Jesus, you can do so this morning. All you have to do is talk to him and say, Jesus, thank you so much for what you have done. I believe that you truly are the Lamb of God. And I believe that you died for my sins. And Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sins. And I accept what you did for me. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life today to manage my life. And I thank you for saving me. For it's in your name, Jesus. Amen.